Kyle Dubas is the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, the man who's had a very busy 48/24 hours. Actually, I imagine it's probably taken longer than that. Kyle Dubas joins us in primetime. Kyle, thanks so much for joining us today. Congratulations on getting these deals done. The Kadri deal, how long was that in the works? Was it at all a revisitation of something that had been talked about last year or last off season or during the season, or was this something that really just kind of came up after the end of the season?
No, there weren't really any discussions with Nas last summer at all. And it, we for one, from the end of the season until signing John Tavares, we didn't really have the depth at the position to be able to even contemplate potentially moving him because of how important a player he was for us and certainly was at that time. And so at the end of this year, I think teams that felt they had a need at center, they began reaching out after our season ended. So, late April, early May, we started to have some interesting calls with different teams, and our it was never our incentive or never our, sorry, our intention to trade Nas. It just became something where as we went through our options and went through every team, we kind of knew that we were going to have to give something up to address our needs on the back end. And we were trying to find a trade partner where everyone could come out on the winning end of it, where a team could address their need for a top end proven center. And we could get a center back, hopefully somebody younger that was a little bit cheaper that we could plug into our lineup and replace Nas. And then also, and the biggest need for us, of course, was on D. So there were a few clubs that were good matches for us. And then once we got through the draft and then really looked like the Zaitsev, Connor Brown, CC, Ben Harper situation was settled, we really started to focus on it. And it really kind of became something that we worked very hard on the last 6 days before July 1st.
Kyle, let me do my quick due diligence. Have you received any offer sheets today?
Not yet. Not since I picked up the phone. But if one comes, I'll have to drop you guys quick, unfortunately.
All right, just let us know, by the way, if it comes before you drop us. We appreciate
the news. You'll hear it here first on 590 The Fan.
Thank you. Yeah. We'll use that bumper, by the way, Kyle. Thank you. What is the likelihood of you dealing away any additional pieces prior to the start of the season?
I don't know that it's all too likely, Richard. I think we like where we're at as of right now. We obviously have some contractual matters to take care of. I mean, notably Mitch, but also now Cody Ceci and Alex Kerfoot. And I think the majority of our focus is on versatile depth pieces up front and on the back end that can kind of complement what we have and give Mike and the coaching staff as many looks and options as possible heading into training camp and exhibition and let the guys sort it out there. But you never say never, and I certainly never expected that we would be talking today and that Nazem Kadri was not a member of our team. But, so you never know. But at this point, I don't see anything imminent or being overly likely. I think we'll have any discussion we can to potentially improve our group through the rest of the offseason. But today, I think we feel pretty good about it. But, the drive to continue to improve it is always there. But I don't know that it's super likely that we'll have any more major transactions in the way of trade.
Kyle, how would you compare Tyson Barrie to Morgan Rielly? Because I've heard people make that comparison. I've heard some people say he's kind of a Western Conference version of Morgan Rielly. I admit, mm-hmm. I haven't seen him play as much as I've seen Morgan Rielly play. How would you mm-hmm. compare them?
Well, I think it's been interesting the last day or so, especially in talking to people throughout the league. And as we broke them down, I do think that there are some similarities that both have a tremendous ability to skate the puck all the way up the ice. Both have good speed. They're not overly tall guys, but their build is similar. They're strong, strong wide mm-hmm. bodies that are very, both very fast and explosive. And so adding them to our group, having Morgan on the left side and then Tyson on the right, whether they play together or not will be of course Mike and the coaching staff's decision. But I think it gives us a varying different looks we can use, and it's great to have that that speed across two different defensemen and that ability to carry the puck up the ice. And I think Travis Dermott, we're hoping as he continues to develop, he's sort of built similarly in terms of his physiology, and it's just a matter of him continuing to grow and develop as a player. But they all possess that ability to win every battle they're in because they're strong and carry the puck and make plays out of trouble and get up the ice. So we've got them, and then you complement them with Muzzin and CeCe, and I think we start to feel good about our defense and excited about it for the start of the year.
Now, I'm going to operate under the assumption here. I'll ask you about Mitch Marner in a minute, but I'm going to operate under the assumption here that he is back and everything's intact. When you look at this year's team compared to last year's team, how do you view it in terms of strengths and weaknesses? What do you like? What do you think is an area you still need, you may need to address?
Yeah, I think we're a lot of the stuff that we're hoping to address, I think, Jeff, we just hope that it comes from the continued maturation and growth of our young core. I mean, you know, even I know Morgan, I know Garrett Sparks is the longest serving member of the organization. He was drafted in 2011, but Morgan is now the longest serving member of our Leafs team. And in terms of the amount of time he spent on the big club in the NHL, and you know, I think our hope is, and Morgan is just 25 years old. And mm-hmm. So I think when you look at the core of our group, and, you know, you really, aside, if you take Jason Spezza out, you know, you've got Jake Muzzin and John Tavares, and they're 30 and then well below 30 yet in terms of age. So I think that means our group has a lot of room to grow, both our forwards, whether it's Austin and Mitch, even though they've had excellent starts to their career. I think, you know, they're only going to continue to grow and improve and get better. And we're trying to build the environment where we can help all of our young players continue to reach their potential. I think William Nylander is going to have a much different season, of course, than he had last year. That's, you know, partly to do with us and getting the contract done, but he'll be able to ramp up right from the beginning, which I think will allow him to certainly get back on the track that he was on, continue improving and everything like that. So I think we're expecting our team to continue to make big gains internally. And then what we'd like to do is see where we're at and as we go through the year and hopefully get those improvements from within. But if we need to address something during the year, it's maintaining our flexibility to do that.
Kyle, how much do you and your group consult with Mike and the coaches prior to a deal like the one we saw with the Avs, or do the deals come first and then the discussion with the coaching staff happens afterwards?
Well, I think I think there's always in every sport, I think there's so many different ways of looking at it. And I think rightfully so, coaches are fixated on the short term. They're getting ready for the next practice, for the next game, of getting the team to the level that it needs to get to in terms of performance the next day or the next week. And then, you know, we sit up top or stand up top and work and always keeping the long term in mind. But when it comes to players that are going to impact the roster right away, I think it's only fair to the player and ensuring that the player is going to have great success right away that the coaching staff has at least been consulted. And I would say that the coaching staff is consulted in the same way that all other factions of the organization are. So your player personnel department, your research and development or analytics department, your scouts, the various different pieces of information you can find out about a player from other spots in the organization. And then as a management team, after taking all that in, we have to decide. But that's essentially the way that we operate here. We go through all the players that may be available or that we're talking about as free agents and get everybody's opinion. And then in the end, and I don't think there's ever been one ever where every single person agrees on it, save for a few exceptions. And I think that's part of the fun and the discussion of working in athletics are those times when there's a player that one faction really likes and the other is not as high on, and then going through and breaking down the player and it only increases your own knowledge of them. And then it's up to us in management to make the call in the end of what we think is best for the team.
Kyle, understanding that I'm not using this trade as an example of this, but asking more of a philosophical question. If there was a player that Mike absolutely wanted to veto in either a deal or a free agent, would that be enough for you not to do it, even if you believed and your group believed that the player would be a good fit for the Leafs?
I don't know. I don't really know that that's it's tough to answer, because I don't think that's really the relationship that Mike and I have. I think when there's various different things where I don't think either of us has ever said, whether it's a player personnel or management situation or a coaching situation, that something is absolutely vetoed. But I think there are both times when, you know, as in any coach and manager relationship, where one of you like something better or worse than the other, and you express that and go through with it and try to work through it. But I think in the end, on the transactions and the signings and the trades, they sort of tasked me and our group here to make those final calls. And I think if we thought we were going to bring a player in that one faction of our group here really liked and everybody else really didn't like, I think the other thing is for the player coming in, and you have to, take into account what's it going to be like for the player when they come in, and knowing that, you know, there's either just one person or one segment of the organization that really wanted them. It's probably going to be really tough to get everybody else on side. But that said, if there were a player that either I personally or someone in our personnel department really felt strongly about, and they were adamant about it, I think we would also probably take the chance that they could convince everybody else in time that the player has other skills that could bring the others on side.
Kyle, what was the conversation with Naz like? And, you know, there are people out there who were saying, look, that Nazem Kadri was, you know, was going to be moved one way or another the second that suspension came down. I don't necessarily buy that, but there are people who are going to say that.
Yeah, those are tough. I think you're never know when you're picking up the phone to call somebody after the trade call with the league is complete. You never know where you're finding them or where you're speaking to them and what they're doing. And especially when it's a player that's been with the organization from draft until yesterday for 10 seasons. And he gave a lot to the organization, not only, you know, his play on the ice, but his charisma, his personality, his competitiveness. And, you know, he's a fan favorite and you know, played his heart out for our team. I think the players are usually a little bit blindsided by it. And then, you know, you hope to have a conversation with them after to properly thank them for all that they've done for the organization. But they're tough calls, like the call to Naz and the call to Connor Brown, especially. Not that the others were easier, but, you know, they've been with the organization a long time, and they're essentially, you know, Connor's a local guy, Naz is from London, and they've only been in our organization, and they went all the way up from playing junior in the OHL with our development people, you know, that predate me being there and monitoring them, and then with the Marlies, and then graduating to the Leafs. You know, there's a long relationship, and I think there's obviously disappointment when it, you know, it's going to come to an end. And I think, you know, as you see, there's lots of players that have played here in the past that now that were traded or not signed here that go on to become great ambassadors back for the organization in the future, whether it's Wendell Clark, Doug Gilmore, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, Darcy Tucker, Shane Corson, they're all still very involved in our organization. So they'll always have space for them here as we move on. But, you know, I think that both will excel in Colorado and Ottawa, respectively.
Have you had any substantive talks with Mitch since your last update, which I guess was what, yesterday? The last time you provided an update. Has there been any substantial negotiations with Darren, with Mitch's camp? And go ahead.
Yeah, Darren and I continue to talk, you know, we've essentially daily, and, you know, it's been a good process. And I think, you know, he's been good to deal with, and we'll continue to work with him. And it's a daily situation now where, you know, we're in touch every day and having different discussions every day. And I think, you know, trying to you know, get this to the conclusion that we all wanted to get to, I think ourselves, our fans and everybody alike. And the sooner we can do that, the better for everybody. I think it would reduce a lot of anxiety on us all and have us all be able to move on and I think end any speculation or anything that may be going on and out there. So that's our goal, and we'll continue to stay out with that and stay in touch with Darren and work with him towards a conclusion.
In a situation like this, do you guys, and I'm thinking logistically, do you schedule a meeting every day, or is it the kind of thing, you know, look, if you've got something new, get a hold of us? I'm just wondering how you go about doing this.
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't know that we schedule a certain, it's certainly not a standing appointment, but
right.
I think you talk and, you know, you try to find a time each day to talk and kind of go through, you know, even if it's just reiterating the same stance that you've gone through plenty. But I think I think these things can sort of get off the rails a little bit, and just learning from past mistakes that personally I've made when you just kind of wait a little bit too long. And I think by staying in touch constantly, it serves as a major, I think it just serves as a major way to continue to have things progressing and moving forward. So there's no standing appointment or set time each day, but I think, you know, daily you're, and then sometimes multiple times per day, you're going back and forth and just trying to see where the other is at.
All right, Kyle, I got one for you that you're not going to expect. Will your good buddy Masai sign Kawhi Leonard?
I'm optimistic. I don't really get into the, it's tough, you know, one day it's definitely going to be back. Another day it's definitely not, and going to a litany of other teams. And it's sort of interesting. Like I think in these things, it's so interesting because last year with the Tavares situation, you kind of know what's happening on the outside and you're able to kind of laugh as some of the outside speculation as well. And I guess Mike Babcock's situation coming here was the other, where, you know, in both cases, they were definitely going to go elsewhere. They were going to stay where they were. They were going to go to a different team. And we were kind of out, and we knew that wasn't really the case. So that's sort of lets you, with that, having gone through those things, it sort of lets you block out the outside noise or speculation about where the player or coach or manager is going to end up. But I'm optimistic. I think they just have such a great program, the Raptors and the fan base and the way that everyone got behind the team. Like I just think it's such a great fit for any player to be a Toronto Raptor, and the way that Masai and Bobby and Dan Tolsman and Teresa Resch have built up the program, and the way that Nick Nurse coaches the team. I could never understand why anybody would not want to play here. It's a great city and it's a unique opportunity within the NBA, of course, being in Canada. And I think all the players on that team certainly experienced it. So, you know, notwithstanding whatever Kawhi's decision is, I'm certain and know that it's a place that's going to be able to draw star players for a long time, and that there'll be a team that will contend and win for a long time.
Kyle, we appreciate you doing this. Thanks so much. Best of luck finishing off the Marner negotiations, and hopefully we'll be talking sooner as opposed to later. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Kyle.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a great night. Talk to you
soon. All righty. That's Kyle Dubas.